Granny's, Abner. I believe that's our ring.
I know his llama. I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, jot 'em down, store. This is Lum and Abner.
And now let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, so far, Lum's diamond has brought him no major bad luck. And he's pretty well convinced himself that there is nothing to the story that it carries a curse. In fact, things seem to be going rather well. Although the check for Mr. Chancellor hasn't cleared yet, he was able to mortgage his house and Abner's for enough to pay for their new suits and Lum's new furniture. As we look in on the little community today, we find the old fellows in their jot-em-down store. Lum is reporting his conversation with Mr. Chancellor. Listen.
Yeah, well, Lum, exactly what did Mr. Chancellor want to see you about yesterday?
Well, you know, that's a funny thing, Abner. I ain't sure just what it was.
Well, when he called up over here, he said it was important.
Yeah, you told me that. He was waiting there for me, all right, but he never had nothing to tell me that seemed to be extra important.
Well, he's still writing a play about us, ain't he?
Yeah, he said that was coming along awful good.
Oh, good. Do it.
Working on the second act now. Claimed it was going to be the best play that ever struck Broadway.
I'm glad to hear that. What else did he say about it?
Oh, not much more about the play. Mostly it seemed like he just wanted to talk to somebody.
Talk?
Yeah, he might not be feeling so good because he acted sort of nervous. Couldn't tell what it was.
Well, what did he want to talk about?
Oh, just things in general. Mostly about
his papa.
Yeah, he claimed his papa had never understood him.
You mean on account of them big words he uses all the time?
No,
I don't know how his papa could understand him. I never can understand him neither, the way he used them big words.
Well, that ain't what Mr. Chancellor meant, though. He said his papa never could understand why he wanted to be a writer. Always wanted him to go into some kind of a business. But he never wanted to do that because he's more of the artistic type.
Well, law me, I don't see what his papa's got against him being a writer. Any feller that can give out $10,000 checks must be doing pretty good. That's as good a business as I'd ever want him.
Yeah, but his papa just don't see things that way. He even went so far as to say he wished I was his papa.
You? Why, you ain't even married.
Well, he was just saying that. Said I understood him.
Wait a minute. Is that what he wanted to see you about? Was he hinting around to have you adopt him?
Oh, of course not, silly.
Well, I don't know now. I'd think that over a little bit first if I was you, Lum. He's 45 years old if he's a day. A little old for your first child. You ought to start out with something younger.
Well, I ain't going to adopt him.
You ought to talk it over with Miss Emmeline, too, Lum. She might not want to have a 45-year-old young'un kicking around the house.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Might even be embarrassing to her. I don't believe she's that old herself. No, I wouldn't recommend that.
Well, Abner, for pity's sakes, I ain't going to adopt Mr. Chancellor or nobody else.
Well, I'm glad you changed your mind. Because it's just a lucky thing you talked to me about this first.
Yes, ain't it, though?
Sometimes I just don't know what would become of you if you didn't have me to advise you.
I shudder to think what would happen.
But don't you worry, old boy. I'll stick by you.
Well, that's wonderful.
You just bring your little problems to me, old boy. I'll be all as glad to take time to discuss them with you.
Well, that's mighty thought of you.
I'm your friend.
That's fine.
Your true friend. Yes,
that's
sir.
Grand.
So anytime you got these little troubles...
Oh, for goodness sakes, hush up. I can take care of myself. Here you talk about it, think it was you that was adopting me instead of me adopting Mr. Chancellor. Oh, wait a minute. Now you got me all mixed up.
Well, I'll be glad to straighten you out, Lum. What's your trouble?
I ain't got no trouble.
Well, you never can tell when you get into some little special with that diamond locked up in that safe there.
Oh, say, that reminds me. Did I get any letters in the mail today from any jewelry stores?
Jewelry store?
Yeah, I wrote to two or three of them asking them if they had any rings you could set a great big diamond on.
No, I don't believe there's any mail at all today. Not even any bills from the wholesale house.
Great. I've got to get that ring ready so I can give it to Miss Emmeline at my coming out party.
Well, have you tried Caleb Weehunt over at the blacksmith shop? He makes some pretty fancy rings out of them horseshoe nails over.
Oh, that ain't fancy enough, Abner. What I want... Wait a minute, there comes Squire Skimp up out there. He might know someplace where I can get what I want.
Well, he'll let on like he does, whether he does or not. Oh,
my. Well, howdy, Squire, old boy.
Well, howdy, Lum. Hello, Abner. Beautiful day. Yeah, I suppose you fellas hate to see me coming today.
Hate to see you coming?
Yes. This is Tuesday, you know, Lum.
Well, yeah, I know it's Tuesday, but...
Well, those mortgages that I have on your place and Abner's, they're due today, you know.
Ah.
See, I took those on Thursday, and they were five-day mortgages, and today's the fifth day.
Grannies, that's right, ain't it?
Uh-oh, I know that. I know that.
Well, that sort of slipped my mind, Squire. To be right honest, we ain't got the actual cash right this minute.
Of course we ain't. I know this would happen.
But there ain't nothing to worry about, Squire. We've got till midnight tonight to pay them off, ain't we?
Well, yes, I guess so, Lum. Legally speaking. No, I won't press you for the money now. I'll be glad to wait until midnight if that suits you better. After all, you know, this is more or less just a friendly deal.
Well, that's mighty thoughty of you, Squire. I appreciate your altitude.
Yes, well, don't worry about it, Lum. I'll be in my office until 9 o'clock. After that, you can reach me at my home.
Yeah, all right, fine, Squire.
Well, I'll see you this evening then, men. So long.
Yeah, much obliged. So long, Squire.
Oh, me. How am I ever going to break the news to Elizabeth? We've lived in that place for over 20 years, just like home to us. Well, it is our home.
Well, now, don't start acting that way.
Now, we're going to lose it.
Well, you ain't going to do no such a thing.
We're bound to, Lum. We ain't got the money to pay off them mortgages to Squire.
We will have, though. I'll get on the phone right now and call the bank at the county seat. That $10,000 check from Mr. Chancellor's bound to have cleared by now. And if it ain't, I'm pretty sure that Mr. Chancellor will loan us the money.
It's that diamond that's doing this to us. I know it is. That thing's got a curse on it, Lum.
Ah, that's just plumb silly. Ain't nothing to that curse business. Look at me. I ain't had a bit of bad luck since I got that diamond.
You're losing your house. Don't you call that bad luck?
Wait a minute. Hello, Mamie?
Always.
This is Lum Edwards. I'm fine. Say, Mamie... Yeah, Abner's fine, too. Mamie, will you get a hold of the bank at the county seat for me? Yeah, call me back. Much obliged.
The path of death and destruction follows that diamond everywhere.
Granny, do you believe everything you hear?
Well, no, but there ain't no... Oh, who's that coming up out there?
I don't know. I've never seen him before. He sure is dressed up, feller, ain't he?
I bound you that's the feller Grandpappy Spears was telling us about. That one that's trying to get hold of that diamond, Lum.
Cradle prattle, more than likely just a drummer. The feller Grandpap told about was tall and dark. Well, howdy do, sir?
I'm looking for Mr. L. Edwards.
Well, you're looking at him right now. That's me.
And let's see, who was the other one? Oh, yes, Albert Peabody.
I don't believe I know him. He's some relay to mine.
You're sure that ain't Abner Peabody?
Not? Oh, yes, I believe it is Abner Peabody.
Well, that's me. Who are you, Albert?
No, I'm not. Aren't you two just a little ashamed of yourselves? You certainly don't look the type, but then with the experiences I've had, I've learned that you never can tell. That boy is going to drive me to my grave yet.
Wait a minute. What's this all about? Just who are you?
Oh, excuse me. I'm W.J. Chancellor. I want to know where Wilbur is.
Now, just a second. You can't put nothing over on us. We know who W.J. Chancellor is, and it ain't you.
No, sir. He's a writer.
He's my son, and he's no writer. I'm W.J. Chancellor Sr.
You mean you're his papa?
Yes, and I want to know where Wilbur is.
Why, he's more than likely over at Sister Simpson's boarding house. That's where he stays.
I was just over there, and he's packed up and left.
He has?
Yes. Looks like I've missed him again.
Doggies, he can't leave yet. He ain't finished writing that play about us.
No, he's worked up to the play by now, huh?
Yeah, all about me and Abner here being trapped in the mine.
Now, he's gotten past the magazine article and book stage then, huh? Well, I could have told that by the $10,000 check. That's always the tip-off when that comes in.
Wait a minute. You mean he's done this before?
Done this before? He's made a career out of it. That's all he's done all his life. Run off on these wild goose chases and spend my money. Money that I earned through years of hard work.
Well, he makes pretty good money at that writing, though, don't he?
Of course not. He's never had a thing published. As a matter of fact, he's never even finished anything. Last year, I found him in Mexico writing a play about two sombrero weavers who were trapped in some volcano. The year before that, I located him following the Chautauqua to write a play about two Kappa boys who were once trapped in a lion pit in Africa.
And did they get $10,000 checks, too?
Naturally. Why, just a few months ago, I found him in Altoona writing a play about a man and his wife trapped in a folding bed.
Did they get a check, too?
Yeah, the usual $10,000. Oh. Those poor devils had been silly enough to borrow some money on the strength of that check before they found out that it was no good.
No good?
Why, of course not. I'm not a fool enough to put money like that into Wilbur's account. I just let him have enough to keep him from starving. I've given the bank instructions to honor $200 or $300 checks, nothing higher.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, as long as the boy's not here, I'd better be on my way. No telling where he's headed for this time. Well, I'm sorry if he's caused you any inconvenience.
Oh, not at all, not at all.
And the next time, don't try to take advantage of anybody.
Well, that don't beat the bugs of fighting. Now we're in for it.
Does that mean we ain't going to get the money on that $10,000 check, Lon?
Of course it does.
Oh, my goodness, and we've got to have that money for Squire Skimp by 12 o'clock tonight. It's that diamond that's doing this. I know it is, Lon. Well,
whatever it is, we're sure in a bad spot right now. Better get the phone there, Hebner. I believe that was our ring.
Oh, it's that diamond. Hello. Huh? Oh, yeah, well, Mimi, never mind to call the bank now. No. You better get hold of the poorhouse.